Chapter 12, and let's take a look at this. We're going to see that Israel becomes the church in this first part. We're going to see this dream that is had. We're going to see the dragon. We're going to see war. We're going to see persecution prophesied. Okay, let's take a look. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven. A great wonder in heaven appears. A woman clothed with the sun and moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Now we can do all kinds of speculation. Oh, maybe this is this planet. Maybe this is it. Maybe it's the planet Mars with this around. Maybe people are seeing galaxies. What is this? Well, we believe the Bible interprets the Bible. So how do we interpret this? How do we understand what he's talking about? If we go to the first book of the Bible in Genesis chapter 37, Genesis chapter 37, which I'm sure your margins feed you back to, Genesis 37 and verse 5. Joseph dreamed a dream and he told it to his brother. Joseph's problem was he was too open, if you could be such. Joseph was too open. I mean, he had this dream. Hey, guys, I had this dream. You know, he tells them about it. And of course, it ends up meaning they're going to be subject to him. I had this dream, and they hated him yet the more. First of all, he got the coat of many colors. Did he ask for a coat of many colors? Nothing says that. Maybe he could have. Maybe he said, Dad, could I have a coat of many colors? And his dad loved him because he was the son of his first of the wife that he originally loved. And so he said, okay, I'll get you a coat of many colors. So he made him a coat of many colors. And he said to him, here, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. Listen to me. Listen to what I heard. Listen to what I dreamed last night. Sometimes your dreams can be so vivid. You wake up and you wonder, am I still dreaming or did this actually happen? Sometimes I wake up and think, did that really happen? And you wonder about it. Okay. And for behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and stood upright. Here we all working on these, binding these sheaves together and in the field harvesting, and mine stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood round about mine and bowed to it. Well, that's really for the brothers. Yeah, you think we're going to bow down to me. And his brethren said to him, shall you indeed reign over us? And shall you indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. Seeing the attitude of Joseph, I don't see him doing this to try to puff himself up or promote himself. I think him just being open and honest and approachable. Verse 9, and he dreamed yet another dream, and he told it to his brethren, and he said, here's the one we referred, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me, bowed to me. Notice how many stars? 11. Notice in Revelation 12, there are 12. Why? Because Joseph is the one of the 12. He's the one that filled it out. So he said, and he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall I and your mother and your brothers indeed come to bow down ourselves to you, to the earth? Did he understand it? Oh, he understood it, and God recorded it so we can understand what was happening up here. It's describing the children of Israel. It's describing the family of Jacob. It's describing him and his children, which then gave rise to what? All the Israelites. Comment, Chris.
And I guess in the sun, moon, and stars obeying Joseph, we know Joseph was just a man. Is he playing the role of Jesus? Are they actually giving obeisance to
no,
God?
No, because we're going to see that they did actually go bow down to Joseph. So did his dad, when his dad came to Egypt.
His mom was dead, though.
Yeah, his mom was dead. But I mean, in the sense of all of Israel. Are you saying, suggestion, maybe it's talking about Jesus instead of
Joseph? It's having a dream. Like David wrote Psalm 22, my God, right. My God. He was like in telepathic communication with Jesus. Like he was playing the role where he was seeing, he was putting himself in the place of Jesus. That we know that that psalm was about the Messiah. And, you know, David wrote it down. You know, and he got the vision of it, but he was getting a vision of what would happen to the Messiah. And okay. I guess that's what I'm asking.
I don't know if David understood what he wrote.
He may not have totally understood what he wrote, but we know he wrote.
But you're saying then Joseph is a type of Jesus, you're saying. And that all of Israel would bow down to Jesus one day. I you could get that. I don't get that out of it. But I mean, you could get that out of it. Again, I've known ministers who make a stretch of a scripture.
Right, we know there was a type and a, you know, the anti-type and the type. He is a type. Joseph was a type of Jesus. He was a savior, saved his family. But he's not Jesus. He's
okay,
not God.
I understand. Okay. And again, I can understand you could make a connection there. But some people do. I don't, but some people do. All right. He goes on to say, and his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. What's this mean? What's the meaning of this? Because he loved Joseph. He respected Joseph. Joseph, he trusted. Joseph was the one he sent out to check on his brothers, go see, make sure they're doing the job. I take it that Joseph was, even though he was younger, was still one who was very trustworthy. So, and his brethren envied him and his father, and his brothers went, then his brothers went to check, to feed their father's flock and check them. You know what happened after that. So all I go back there for is to show you there is a connection. So what is he talking about here in Revelation chapter 12? He's talking about Israel. So there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed the sun, moon, and stars, sun and moon under her feet and upon her head, a crown of 12 stars. So who is this woman being depicted as? Israel. Israel. Physical Israel, 12 tribes. As we see Joseph in his dream and the interpretation. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. Who is she delivering? Delivering the Messiah. Delivering the Messiah in, let's see if I remember my scriptures here. Micah. Micah 5:2. But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall he come forth to me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been of old from everlasting. Matthew 2, verse 1, also is the connection there. Matthew 2, he was born in Bethlehem. So who is to bring forth Jesus? The physical nation of Israel. It is evident that he came out of Judah. Sprang from Judah. I think that's Hebrews 7:14. Relying on many years of... It is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah. So who's coming out of Israel? Who's coming out of the Israelitish peoples? Jesus. So here's this woman. She's travailing and being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered, waiting to be delivered. Verse 3, what happens? This woman who's going to give birth to Messiah. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon. You wonder why over in the Middle East, over in the Far East, there's so much fascination with dragons. See, lots of dragons. You know, they have to see them parading through the streets, picturing a dragon. There appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. Who is this depicting? Satan the devil and the world's systems. Would the world love Jesus? No, it wouldn't. Would the world be happy with Jesus? No, it wouldn't. Who represented the world system in Jesus' locale? Herod. Was Herod happy with Jesus? No. No. In fact, let's look at Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. Of course, the world didn't like Jesus right from the get-go because they said, we be not born of fornication after he was born. So what did they think of him? He was just some illegitimate baby coming into the world because Mary must have been fooling around on Joseph. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod, king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that's born of king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Now, I don't know how many stars stop and go. Probably an angel, bright as a star. We know Revelation calls them stars. Verse 3, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. Why was he troubled? What did they say in verse 2?
They're looking for the king of the Jews, and supposedly he's the king. I'm like, I'm right here on my throne. Who are you looking for?
You got it. They said, where's the king? Where's this person who's born to be king of the Jews? Oh, that's a rival to Herod. I'm king of the Jews. How dare somebody think they're born? Oh, no, he plays dumb. And when he had gathered all the chief priests, so Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled. And all Jerusalem with him. Now, I doubt that all of Jerusalem, but all the people in his realm of Jerusalem. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Does the Bible say where the Messiah is going to be born? And they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea. Bethlehem Ephratah was an older name for Bethlehem. I love the little town of Bethlehem. I can still picture it. There's that Christmas song, Oh Little Town of Bethlehem. It is a little town. Nice little town. I still remember driving in, parking at that church in the Nativity where they claim Christ was born. And walking on the cobblestone street, rock streets, walking through that. It was so nice to be able to walk there and know that's where Jesus Christ was born. Anyway, and they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of you shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. And I'm reading Old King James. Someone is going to be the ruler in Israel. Verse 7, then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. When were you first told of his birth? So they gave him an approximate time, and how many days did it take to travel from the east to get to Jerusalem and then head down to Bethlehem? Probably quite a few days. Then Herod asked, and he sent them to Jerusalem, and he said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Trickery. Send him down, let them find him, and then come back and tell me, and I'll go down and worship him too. Right. And when they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them. So this star stops and goes and stops before them and went before them until it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, notice now it's not the stable. All these Christmas scenes, these wise men are coming and they're giving him gifts and so on at the stable, and they're giving him, frankincense and myrrh. Okay, when they came, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented to him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So one gave him gold, another one gave him frankincense. That's how they get the three wise men. Why does it have to say that? You could have lots of gold. Each one of them could have given gold. There could have been 10 people giving gold. There could have been 6 people giving frankincense. There could have been 10 people giving myrrh. It doesn't say there were 3 wise men. But there's always been assumed because there were 3 gifts, or seemingly 3 different gifts. But they came and they worshiped, and notice the baby is in the house now. So some time has gone by from the time the baby was born in the stable. When the taxation period is over, people have gone back to their homes, so now they're able to find a place in a home for her. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. So they decided to take the bypass of Jerusalem and head on back home. So there you find in verse 16, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceedingly wroth and sent forth and slew all children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under. Let's make sure we didn't make a mistake here. Kill every child, every male. Go down and slay all the children that were 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which is said by Jeremiah the prophet. In Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children would not be comforted because they are not. So crying for all the children that had been slain and killed instead of Jesus Christ. Of course, Joseph and Mary were warned in a dream to go down to Egypt, get your son, get out of town fast. And so you have the world mad, upset. Go back to Revelation chapter 3. So you have this great false beast. And also let's go on. He said in verse 4, and his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven, did cast them to the earth. What do we believe? A third part of the angels followed him. Third part of the angels followed him. And did cast them to the earth. Which shows you, if he were over one third of the angels. And again, that's an if. It was brought out by Raymond and Jordan to me. And understanding that there were not necessarily named 3 archangels. Named. When that came about, that these individuals, if one third were subject to Lucifer, it shows you the importance of leadership, that a leader can have detrimental effects or great effects on the people he serves. He can either motivate them for good or he can motivate them for evil. It looks here like pretty close to all left. We had some churches, the minister who in the split where Cogwa departed from United, almost wholesale. Their minister really did it. In fact, down in Shelbyville, there are only a few. And the one who's there is the son-in-law of the minister, who's the deacon down there. If you ever go down there, Mr. Cliff Adams, he's an elder with us. And he said, they had a meeting. His dad said, his son-in-law said, I've almost convinced everybody in here. And he looked right at him. But not everyone went with him. Or his father-in-law is stayed with United. He did not buy into that. Or almost everybody else in the church, down in Louisville, which is a fairly substantial sized church, stayed. So if a minister gets out there, tells you, in Big Sandy, Texas, all of us had taught God's way of life for a long time. But you have some who are above you stand up and say, like Mr. DeKotch, that it's okay to clean and unclean meats laws are gone. That night, Saturday night, they were out ordering pizza with pepperoni. Oh, your life is really curtailed when you can't have pepperoni. It's really been infringed upon when you can't have pizza with pepperoni. you're healthier if you don't have a lot of pork residing in your system. Thank God for that. But anyway, it shows you what the effects of a leader are on people. So he says, having seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns. Each one of them had its own crown. So it shows you those are the different world leaders that they had. Remember the original ones. You had the one king, two kings, and then you had the four kings, and then you had the final one. So Alexander's kingdom was split. And then you had the one following Alexander, the Roman Empire. This is seven different ones, heads. So he says, and what did he do? The dragon, and he'd cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. So who was Satan instigating during this time? Herod. It wanted to kill that child as soon as it was born. Come tell me where that little child is. I want to go down and worship him. Right, that's why he sent men down to wipe them out. All those 2 years and under. Verse 5. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and to his throne. So it gives you a really quick summary. He was born to rule, but not yet. He was caught up to God's throne after he was put to death. He was resurrected. But think about it for a minute. Who is this becoming now? What did Christ come to do in this transition period? Matthew 16:18, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It'll never die. They'll never close the grave on it. Matthew 16:18. So now, who are we talking about when he say verse 6, and the woman fled into the wilderness? Physical Israel blends into spiritual Israel. How do I know that? Look at Romans 4 and verse 12. Hold your place. Romans 4 and verse 12 will connect the dots. I've allowed a couple of days to do chapter 12 because I think it's important for you to understand about the church and what this means. Proverbs 4 verse 12. And the father of circumcision, Abraham, the father of circumcision, to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. So again, who are these who are walking in the steps of Abraham, but aren't circumcised? They're Christians. And we can look at Romans 2, verse 28 and 29. Which talks about who is a Jew. Verse 27, let's start at verse 27. And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge you, who by the letter and circumcision does transgress the law? For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, verse 28, which is outward in the flesh. That isn't the criterion today. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart. Have you had your heart changed? I think Mrs. Fenchel was trying to point that out to you. Have you had your heart changed? Circumcision is of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. So, again, and then go to Galatians chapter 3, and verse 29. We're making a connection here, right? To show that physical Israel blended into spiritual Israel. Now we're talking spiritual Israel here. We're not talking about physical Israel anymore after this. Chapter 3, verse 28. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ. Now, that doesn't mean that you physically have been transformed. We're not talking about men undergoing operations or whatever, or women too. He says in verse 29, and if you be Christ's, then are you Abraham's seed. Who were Abraham's seed? Isaac. Who was Isaac's seed? Jacob. Who was Jacob's seed? Israelites. If you are Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise? One more scripture, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 16. Galatians 6 and verse 16, what does he call the church? Galatians 6:16. He says, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision, it's verse 15, avails anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature, and as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. Galatians 6:16. The Israel of God. Who is that? Christians. Christians today. So you see that the physical Israelites first started out, Christ came out of Judah. But then what are we talking about after that time? Christ came to build his church. You have now spiritual Israelites being referred to. So the woman that brought forth the man-child was both physical Israel and then blended back into spiritual Israel. And notice what it says in verse 2, verse 6, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. 1,260 days. Some believe that was right after the persecution in 69 AD when the church had to flee. And where did they flee to? Many different places. But it says she has a place. Where is that place? Under God's protection and under God's safety. That's where her place is. So, again, this woman who flees now is blended into the church. Acts 8, hold your place. Acts chapter 8, what happened to the church? What was the church doing? Proclaiming the will of God. What was the church doing? Carrying on the message of Jesus Christ. So Acts chapter 8, verse 1, and Saul was consenting to his death, that's to Stephen's death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Apostles hung in there, and then they went to different areas. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial, and as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, as verse 3. So they were persecuted, and verse 4 says, and therefore they were scattered abroad, they that were scattered, went everywhere preaching the word. So you have the church being scattered, but still protected. Church being scattered, but still taken care of. Still making do. They were fed 1,260 years. A day is as a year in prophecy, according to Ezekiel, I think it's 4:6. Yeah, Ezekiel 4, verse 6. When you have accomplished this, lie again on your right side, and you shall bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days, for I have appointed you each day for a year. So at times, the same way in Numbers 14:34, a day can be considered like a year in prophecy. So if this is 1,260 days equal each day for a year, talking about 1,260 years, that the church was scattered, but protected. It would always be. Christ promised, never let it die. So going back here also, you might want to note 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 2, where the church is likened to a woman. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 2. Paul writes, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. So the church in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 2 is pictured as a woman. It's pictured as a woman. Okay, so he says you're going to be protected. But this woman in this case is protected for 1,260 days or 1,260 years. And she's protected, but not in one single place. That's why some say if you take this parallel, you go across the page to verse 14, it says, and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, she might fly into the wilderness, into her place. Well, the other one went into a place as well, fled in, and she was prepared. The woman fled that she should be protected into her place. Has a place. This says her place, where she's nourished for a time, times, and half a time, which is, again, 3.5 years, or 1,260 days from the face of the serpent. Yes?
Questioning verse 6, like when is, if this is each day is a year, so when did the clock start ticking and when did it end? What happened around the year 1260 or 1290 or AD? It seemed like we were plunged in, we were still living in the wilderness.
Again, I don't know the exact what happened at that time, other than the Church of God began to make some, come out of, at least be recognized of some of these smaller groups. I don't know. That she was kind of in hiding, some of those other groups.
Sites, and some existed at that time.
They all existed, but they weren't doing a whole lot of work at that time. And that is only speculation based on that scripture. Okay, verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. So the dragon has angels. Michael has angels. They're fighting against each other. There was war in heaven. Now, there was also war in heaven before, right? Even before the world was, when Satan the devil tried to take over the throne of God. And so now you find again here talking about after this period of time, whenever, there's war in heaven, and he prevailed not, neither was place found any more in heaven. So they have no place to reside. They're not welcome in heaven, God says. War in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels, and the dragon had fought and his angels. So the dragon has angels, which are called demons. But he didn't win. Neither was their place found anymore. In verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent. Now we find that the dragon was the same as the serpent. Where was that? In Genesis chapter 2 or 3. Chapter 2, I think it is. Or 3. And there was war in heaven, and verse 9, and the dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. So he says Satan the devil is a deceiver of the whole world. It isn't like some people have the knowledge of the truth and nobody else, and everybody has a knowledge of the truth and only a few are deceived. A lot of the people are deceived. You were deceived. I was deceived, unless you were brought up in the church. But even then, you went to school or you went outside with your friends or whatever you did, you had deception. We've all been subject to it. He was cast out into the earth and his angels were cast out with him. So they're out about, they tried. Apparently there'll be another attempt. They'll try again. Only this time when they come back, they're going to be fearful. They're going to be causing a lot more ruckus and a lot more problems. I'm going to stop with that. We'll come back and explore that a little bit more next time. Satan originally meant adversary. Satan is the accuser of the high priest in Zechariah. In the New Testament, diabolos is a word used. It means slanderer, seducer of men. Devil is used both in the Old Testament and New Testament. Satanus is in the New Testament is used 36 times. Satan in the Old Testament is used 19 times. In the Arabic is Shaitan. Shaitan. There used to be a hockey player whose name was Satan. You ever remember him? He was skating on the back of Satan. His name was Satan. So, Shaitan. And my parents wanted to call you something bad, they call you a Shaitan. You're a devil. You're Satan acting up. All right. Bell's rung. We'll come up, finish it next time. Chapter 12, work in that particular section.